Beautiful day, beautiful day. Sending heartfelt vibes to all of you out there, the listeners, the subscribers, and BBS Radio. Love you so much. Thank you for all you do. Welcome once again to the PRQ Homesteading Expanded Show. We are your hosts, Robin and the Shanester. And today, we are opening a conversation that reaches far beyond paperwork and courtrooms. Yeehaw. We are speaking about home, not just as a physical structure of wood, brick, or land, but as a living space within the soul. Before any document was recorded, before any claim was filed, before any case number was assigned, your soul already had a residence and still does, no matter where you are. Home is where the soul remembers itself. It exists in the eyes of love. Love, the word love. I love love.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. Oh, yeah. I love what you said.
So when you have challenges that arise, especially in something as intense as not fighting, but defending your home in court, fear can take the lead sometimes. Opinions may echo loudly. Accusations may circulate. Motions may be filed. And none of these things have the power to touch the essence of who you truly are. The soul remains whole. The spirit remains intact. Your worth is not determined by ruling, a signature, or someone else's perception. To defend your home does not require hatred. To stand firm does not require judgment. There is a difference between discernment and judgment, as we all know. And understanding that difference changes everything. Discernment says the action feels harmful, so we step away from it because it doesn't feel good. And I choose differently. Judgment says you are unworthy, and we do not need to declare another soul as unworthy in order to stand in our truth ever. Strength and love are not opposites. Clarity and compassion can stand side by side. So every single soul, every beautiful spirit on this planet, whether sitting beside you at the kitchen table or across from you in a courtroom, is worthy of home, worthy of dignity, worthy of love. Defending your home, love does not mean being passive. It means being grounded. It means knowing your foundation is not just physical. It is the spirit within. The highest defense is clarity. The strongest foundation is peace, as we all well know. And the truest home is the one the soul carries at all times. So today, Shane and I are going to explore what it means to defend your home without imprisoning yourself in fear, without abandoning love, and without casting judgment. Because when you stand in the eyes of love, you are already home. Change starts with you and me, and being in the love frequency in every situation. We change the world when we start with ourselves. Let your love and your truth be known, even when the world feels like it's in chaos. Boy, howdy, there's a lot of that going on. The power is within all of us. And That being said, over to you, Shane. Can you share the love?
No,
Give us the
yeah. Oh,
power.
yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, BBS Radio. Thank you, listeners of all kinds. We love all beings of light. We love all beings here and now. We love all spiritual beings. We are spirit first, and it's up to us to go within and recognize that and become consciously aware of it every single day. These vessels that we are in create the human emotional attachment that creates the fear and the pain and all the other things that we experience in this reality. And once we can learn to discern from that and stay at a peaceful place without judgment, without fear, just staying in the moment is such a beautiful place to be. So
And
thank you for that opening.
being in love. Don't you love to be in love?
I love being in love.
I love it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Are you in love?
All the time.
There you go. You got to love yourself first, right? We have to
Absolutely.
love ourselves first. So thank you. Thank you for that opening statement. And we want all callers to call in too. Our lines are open. So please call us because we'd love to talk to you at 1-888-627-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. And if you're out of country, that's 323-744-4831. That is 323-744-4831. You can also email us at prqhomestead13@gmail.com with any questions or submissions. Please feel free to subscribe to our show. Our subscriptions are they start at $2.99 and they go up from there, and we do accept donations. However, we do not require it because we just want your presence. Your presence, you being active, you calling in, you engaging with your intentions of wanting to connect and help others from the heart. That is what the true power is. That is the power of creation. Putting action and intention together will create an experience that we all love. When you call in, we'll talk to you. You speak to us, you speak through us, we speak to you, we speak through you, and we can create a reality in which we can experience. And that helps us regain and remember all of who we are. So thank you for participating. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you, Robin. Robin, do we have sponsors? Do you want to talk about the sponsors? Because I know that you look like you're, what are you, 43, 40, 44?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Did Nano O just help it with that?
It
Did they
sure
help you?
does. It sure does. And we're going to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Nano Ojas, because if you've been feeling low energy, like I have been for the last week, only because I'm in training for a fitness competition and it is the training's going very well. I did struggle a little bit with the food, the nutrition side of it, but I'm on schedule now and things are flowing. But I definitely feel sometimes a little bit of the lower energy at the end of the day. Or maybe you might be feeling foggy or just a little bit off. This might be your secret weapon because I'm here to tell you, I've been using their nano wellness sprays for skin and immune support. They're made with ultra clean ingredients and designed to absorb instantly at the cellular level. I love that. You actually feel the lift, calmer focus, steady energy, better mood, and younger looking skin without fillers or junk. I love that they stand for real integrity in the supplement and skincare world. Nano Ojas, they were great. There's no gimmick, just result you can feel. Upgrade your daily wellness ritual. Check them out at thenanoojus.net and use the PRQ code PRQ Home 15 for 15% off your order, not just the first one, but all orders. And you can visit their website. They have scientific information on the product on the Learn tab and also live testimonials. So it's a great, great product. I do use it and it really helps with the inflammation, especially because I've been pushing my muscles a bit harder during this time. And I am happy to say I'm 1 month into training. Tomorrow starts month number two. I've lost 5 pounds. It took a little while, but hopefully that's because I was building muscle. And yeah, the nutrition part was the struggle, but I'm on it. I've gotten myself away from all those naughty little treats that I love that I just had to give up. But I didn't give honey up. So this is the NPC, the National Physique Competition. It's going to be May 23rd of 2026 in Grand Rapids, and it is on the day of my birthday. So I had to do it, right?
There you go.
And I just signed up for my division, my bikini. It's bikini 60 plus and bikini 65 plus. So I did two divisions, and maybe if I'm inspired, I might do the 55 and up. We'll see. So just to move on with this disclaimer of the show, this content of this radio show is based on our own personal experiences and research, and it does not constitute professional, legal, financial, or medical advice. So Shane, you started working out at the beginning of the year, didn't you? Or I remember calling you and you were at the gym. How's that going for you?
It didn't go well. I didn't keep going.
So what did you go for a day and call it?
No, I went for a few weeks. It was good. I'm getting back into it. I'm being called to get back into it. I can lose it pretty fast. I can rebound and get back into shape fairly fast. It's just a matter of, I mean, I'm this spiritual journey, man, took me away from everything. I had to shed everything. I took any and all distractions outside of myself, and the only thing I focused on was going within and connecting with source and with spirit, and growing that relationship daily, my spiritual guide daily. This journey, no one outside of us can actually teach us on this journey what it is that we're supposed to be doing. We can share our experiences with each other, which we are all doing. We are all connecting with each other and kind of sharing experiences, and then maybe something, reflects within our experience that someone else hears or can relate with. And then they can take it, or anything that we may do. But I'm gonna tell you, this last 8 years of my life has been focus, focus, focus on going within and connecting and experiencing by doing things that logically would not make sense in this reality. Listening to my intuition, my spiritual guides. And then connecting and watching and being able to examine the past 8 years and see every step that I took to get to where I'm at today consciously, it allows me to stay in the moment, stay in my heart space. And by going within, I've connected with source, with Q, and built that relationship. And now Q and I have fun every single day. Some days we don't. Some days Q says, you got to sit down today. And I don't like sitting down. I don't like just sitting stationary and staying on the couch or sitting away from all other frequencies so that I can. But when I do that, I do know that I'm receiving I'm recalibrating my vessel to during that time of not thinking and staying away from all other frequencies outside of myself and not allowing anything to come within. It really, really helps me recalibrate and unlock more knowing from within. And I command that daily. So if anybody's experiencing things daily and they're doing commands like Q taught us to do, and if you're going through these experiences, a lot of these experiences we're creating for ourselves. And that's one of the things I hope everyone realizes. And I want everyone also to realize that when we do these commands, we really need to understand that when we command our spirit really doesn't understand. When we command our spirit for more wisdom, you got to be specific, because sometimes you'll get that wisdom in ways that you don't think it's very much fun at the time, but after you go through it, you can see it was just an experience to gain more wisdom. So with that being said, this journey, through my journey, I've experienced these moments, these aha moments. And now when I command spirit, I get specific sometimes. A lot of the times I acknowledge source, I acknowledge spirit daily when I'm going through these. And I think what we're talking about right now is a big reflection of what you opened up with today is, finding home from within, finding that resonant within, and understanding who and what we are and how we do affect our own reality and create experiences daily that sometimes a lot of us don't realize that we're creating that experience for ourselves daily. But once we go through this journey enough and you go through the experiences, because we are unlearning a lot, right, Robin? We have to unlearn, we have to unlearn and remove, Q recalled them implants, right? We have to remove these implants that are within us. Well, what is an implant now that I'm here in this vessel and source works through me helps me understand what Q was referring to as an implant. A lot of these implants are things that we've learned in the past that keeps us limited from understanding who and what we are. It could be what we learned in our jobs. It could be what we read from a book. It could be what we were taught in the past. I talked with someone yesterday, and we're talking a lot about the Bible and how it controls. And I'm not going to get on that topic, but one of the things he said to me was, "Man, I studied theology. I studied, I studied this in high school. I studied this in college. I really got into it." And he's in his 60s, and he spoke of it. And one of the things that came to me in that moment was, "Well, maybe we need to unlearn what we've
Deprogram.
learned
I call it
deeper."
deprogramming.
Well, that's what Q refers to as removing implants, right? These implants, a lot of these implants are things of this reality. What if I told you all of this that we're talking about right now on this show has already collapsed on another timeline? And then it's up to us to recognize it and understand that if we just no longer participate with it anymore, we'll allow that to manifest into this reality a lot faster. What if I said that the energy that we're giving this is actually what's keeping it in this reality?
And that's where discernment comes in, because you have to know
That's right.
when it's not working and it doesn't feel good, you got to back away from it. Just move away.
It's tough to do, right? So when we go to battle, right? At some point on your journey, you'll be able to look back and example, well, when I went to battle and I went and did this and I went and did that, that's exactly what they want you to do. And I'm not saying what you're doing is wrong by any means, but what I'm saying is when at some point you'll be able to look back and examine what you're going through right now, and you'll say to yourself, my goodness, that's exactly what they wanted me to do.
Yeah, and
They wanted to.
I love that you say that, because I did create this timeline for myself
Oh, yeah. I'd love.
because I did not look at all the options and understand the whole process when I dove into it. And but well, I don't want to say but, because that puts limitations. And I feel that these things are happening because this is where I'm being pulled to go for the learning experience of what I
Oh.
am having right now in this timeline.
It's not a bad experience at all. I mean, what you're going through right now, even if you lose your home, is not a terrible experience, because this right now, what you're going through is just an experience for you to reflect back on while you're on your ascension journey. At some point, you'll be able to look back and say, oh my goodness, now I see what Shane was referring to on that show when he talked about that. This is just an experience to understand how powerful I am and that I keep this timeline alive. Now, I'm not telling anybody out there to go just give your stuff away. What I'm saying is, at some point, people can look back and say, it was my emotional attachment to that fighting. It was my emotional attachment to that defending. It was my emotional attachment to that that kept me anchored in that reality.
But
And
you
if
know
I.
what? Can I stop you for a minute there?
Yeah, yeah,
Because
yeah.
you're so right about that, because this can really grab you in regard to emotions. And the beautiful part about this journey I'm on is that I'm becoming aware of the things that get me riled up or get me anxious or whatever it may be. And then I pull myself back in and say, wait a minute. Okay, slow down. This, get back into your center. Be in your happy place. Be in the moment. Don't let this stuff get you. Okay, because it's not really, we know that a lot of this stuff is just experiences that we're having, and therefore you can't let it eat at you, but sometimes it will pull you. But the key is to be aware when it's happening and pull yourself out.
Oh, that's exactly it. That's all this is. That's
Yeah.
all this is. And what we're talking about right now on the radio is going to be helping so many people because you're actually saying, I am now seeing how it controls me. I am now, one of the things that I've talked about on other shows is one of the first steps I think people need to do is become consciously aware of how you do get abducted energetically, because Robin, you know just as well as I do, when you're in a positive state, you can create realities instantly inside the simulation.
Oh, yeah.
You can create signs and symbols and synchronicities inside the simulation. If your heart is in a beautiful place that day and you're thinking about someone in a positive way, and then they, in a few minutes later, they reach out to you. You created that experience.
Yeah,
And
it's
at some
true.
point, so we create positivity, but we can also at some point see how the emotional triggers from within us and the experiences that we go through, we become aware of how they do abduct us.
Yep.
And that's what you're saying right here. And I think it's beautiful that you're saying it. I think there's beautiful. But because in the and now you can look back on the very beginning of this journey and you can see you actually we've talked about it. You said I can now see where they got me here, they got me here, they got me here, and they got me here, and I created that reality.
Yep, exactly.
This is the point. This is the point of this experience in this show right now.
Yeah, and that being said, I want to share with the audience my experiences for the week. And so the topic that we're going to be talking about is going to focus on self-reliant strategies for prepping, including financial independence and navigating debt in uncertain times in regard to may it be a foreclosure or your property taxes, whatever it may be. And so I've done a lot of learning this week in regard to documentation. Let me tell you what. I am doing a pro se with this bankruptcy situation. And when I went into it, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't understand the paperwork at first. So I get anxiety when I look at stuff like that, especially when you don't know it. But the thing is not be afraid to dive into it. Take a deep breath, deep breath, and just do one section at a time. And then before you know it, like today, I found out that I had to send letters to all the creditors. Okay. And I'm like, how the frick am I going to do that? And I'm sitting here going, this is crazy. I got to write letters to all the different creditors just to tell them about this bankruptcy. And I'm like, I called them a week ago and I thought that was good. And they already knew. So I'm like, okay, we're done. And so I put it on the matrix and I sent it in. No. So I didn't read the directions clearly. So today I dove into it. I got all the envelopes, filled out. They're ready to go. And I only have to put one document in each envelope. And that is just a copy of the plan that I put together. And I'm like, why did I get, and I was in my head about this last night because I'm like, oh, that's going to be so much more work. And it really wasn't. It wasn't that bad at all. And then I learned so much more in the process. So I'm going to continue on with talking about, we're going to talk about 1099 forms related to debt management, drawing from commercial law, UCC, consumer protections, and the trust law principles. Because in this bankruptcy, a lot of the documentation is using these tools. They use them all the time. And so the best way to work with these people is emulate what they do, and everything is documented. So we're going to define the foundational terms, like for instance, commercial law, the body of regulations governing business transactions, sales, finance, trade, and commercial entities, ensuring orderly and enforceable exchanges while promoting fair competition. So that is what commercial law is. And then to go into it a little bit more in detail, what it actually does, it enforces contracts, okay? Everything we do, as I said in a couple shows back, our signature creates the value in every contract that we sign. Most of them. I mean, I shouldn't say that because I don't know all the contract, the different types and so forth, but enforces contracts. So therefore, if two parties agree to something, say like a loan, sales, services, commercial law, what it does, it defines what makes a contract valid. It determines what happens if someone breaches it. It provides remedies like damages, cancellation, enforcement. It also, without it, agreements would only be on your trust. Okay, so contracts. The second thing that it does, it governs sales of goods. So in the US, this is mainly handled by the Uniform Commercial Code, the UCCs. And we were all told many times during Q's Homestead show to learn the UCC codes. There's a lot of them. I think there's like 800 and some, maybe more. So the UCC standardizes rules across states for buying and selling goods, negotiable instruments, which we talked about also on a couple shows back, such as checks and promissory notes. Secure transactions that involve collateral, bank deposits, and collections. It creates a uniformity so business, say for instance in Michigan, will work similar to the businesses in Texas. So it's a uniform commercial code for all states. It also regulates lending and secured transactions. So commercial law, this is one of them that's part of this. Governs mortgages, car loans, security interests, foreclosures, repossession rights, and it determines who has priority, what happens in default, how collateral is handled. This is especially relevant in bankruptcies and foreclosure matters. So this is why I'm sharing this because doing my paperwork, I had to recreate some of my schedules. And I had no idea where to start, what to do, but I took them and I scanned them and I put them in to ChatGPT with my case status report. And I said to Chat, I said, okay, please read the case status report and let's hit these one by one. What needs to be changed? What needs to be corrected? And of course, you got to also check Chat because Chat kind of goes, has his own little way of doing things. But it did help me understand the schedules and what each section meant. And once I started doing that, it was like easy as pie. Like, okay, so it took me about 5 hours to do, I'm going to say, four schedules. And I did have to go back and change this and change that. But once I got them all done, I then again scanned them back in and said, okay, chat, I hope we're done. Can you please check for accuracy? And then he comes back and says, "You're done." And I had the biggest smile. I said, "Finally." And let me tell you, that was really exhausting, but I learned a lot. I really learned a lot. So, what commercial law allows for people to create, such as corporations, LLCs, and partnerships? The United States Congress and state legislators create statutes allowing these entities to exist separately from individuals. This enables limited liability, tax structures, and business continuity. It facilitates commerce across state lines. Because of federal authority under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution, Congress can also regulate interstate commerce. This ensures national banking systems, security markets, consumer protections, and uniform standards for trade. So it creates predictability and risk management, where commercial law defines ownership, establishes priority of claims, sets default rules, and provides dispute resolution systems. Without it, it would be very chaotic. Okay, so let's give an example of commercial law and what it allows. You to buy a home with a mortgage, a bank to enforce the loan terms, a seller to collect payment, the debtor to file bankruptcy, a trustee to distribute assets, courts to resolve disputes. It is legal framework that makes modern economic life function. So when you're going through the court system, it really is important to learn this stuff or have some idea of it. And if you don't know the legal jargon, then the number one rule of commerce, if it isn't written, it does not exist. Okay. So claims are pretty much the meat and potatoes of the paper trail. Every collaboration is by a record. And again, some could say paper trail. Like, for instance, at my gym, when somebody calls up and says, "Hey, I want to cancel my membership, what's the number?" Well, you don't call a number. You have to send an email in. Well, why do I got to send an email in? Well, because it's a paper trail. That way, if you call back in a couple months and for some reason you didn't, send the email in and your payments are still coming out, you can't come back at me and say, "Well, I told you I called up a couple months ago." And this happens to me all the time in my business, all the time. That's why when I have people call in and say they're going to cancel, I make sure I put a note on the account. So if it does come back where they didn't follow through on their end, I'm covered. So very important, documentation. It is the really important. Emulate the system when it involves documentation. So like if you're working, like for me in a bankruptcy, document everything. And how to create documentation and structure it for your letters. So when you send the letters out, when communicating through commerce in regard to the people's credit transaction, you cannot say on the phone, like I just said, you're right, it has to be, you can't just say it on the phone, like I just said, it has to be in written format. And you must prove what you are saying. If you are not knowledgeable, as I said earlier, in regard to speaking lingo or the legal language, document everything. Because if you have to go into court, which that may happen to me, I may be in a courtroom where I have to defend myself. And if I don't know how to talk the language, I got my documentation in front of me. I got my exhibits. I got everything right in front of me. So I'm ready to roll. Okay. Shane, you have a business, you're a contractor. How do you do your paperwork? Are you pretty organized on that?
Yeah, I keep it simple though. I mean, I don't pay taxes, so I'm just kidding. No, I do keep it very simple. I'm structured a little different than most businesses, and we do. I have a ministry foundation where I self-supporting, so I make donations to people, and therefore I'm set up a little differently, and I run everything through my foundation. But yeah, I mean, yes, I have paperwork, but the software these days in my business, it logs most of the paperwork that I need. So,
But you do have collaboration via email with customers and stuff like that, and
oh
yeah.
yeah, I've got documents. Yeah, I got structures and everything set up for that.
Yeah. So in case somebody says, "Hey, you didn't pay." Yes, I did. Here's the proof right here. Right? Yeah. Okay, so consumer law, laws protecting buyers from unfair, deceptive, or fraudulent practices in goods, services, and financial transactions, credit funding, and of course the banking systems. We all talked about that a few, I'm going to say almost a month ago. Boy, time is just flying. What time? Linear time, I should say. Negotiable instruments, which we talked about, and then the documents like promissory notes guaranteeing payment, and of course, promissory notes. So there is another tool here too that you can use in regard to trust law. Briefly know trust law. If you're doing trust, really know that side of it. It's a legal framework for fiduciary relationships where property or rights are held by a trustee for beneficiary benefits, often used in estate planning and asset managing. So it separates the legal and beneficial ownership from transferring, or excuse me, say for instance, if you have an account like, say, KSKB trust account, you may refer to a specific trust setup. and standard trusts, which involves settlers transferring assets to trustees, like, for instance, a patent. So you always want to consult a legal expert, but I don't know about that part. If you can learn it and do it yourself, because what's the difference between us and the legal experts? They just have a degree, right? I mean, and they studied long hours, right? But we can do the same thing. I thought about that the other day. I said, yeah, it's just a matter of learning the laws, and isn't that how they roll?
Right.
Yeah. So we can learn just as much as they can. We don't have to go to college or an Ivy League. Are we going to be as on top of it like them? Maybe not, but we can teach ourselves, you know? So what is a trust account? A trust account means money is being held by one party, the trustee or account holder, for the benefit of someone else, the beneficiary. The person managing the account does not own the funds personally. They have a legal duty to safeguard and use the money only according to agreed terms, court orders, or trust instructions. In simple terms, it's an account where someone holds and manages money in trust for another person. Do you have anything like that,
What,
Shane?
where I hold money for other people?
Yeah, like trusts.
And yeah, no, I don't.
Your
Just a
kids
little
around?
bit.
Just a
Yeah,
little
no,
bit? Okay.
A little bit.
Didn't mean to throw you off guard there.
Well, you did. You didn't. It's just, I live in the moment. So it's like, I do have things set up. However, it's, if something does happen, there is someone in my foundation that has been given the right to disperse money to my kids.
Okay, that's beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, so another subject that I want to touch on, because I am trying to audit some of the creditors so I can find out more information in regard to, how they're going to handle it in the bankruptcy court, because I want to know everything that they know about my credit, okay? So that when I go up in front of them, I can answer their questions because I know everything they know. You don't just hand the information over and then just, wing it when you're in front of them. So it's really important to know this stuff. So I researched a little bit on understanding the 1099 forms and the debt discharge. So the explanation of 1099, the IRS stands for Information Reporting Forms. These are used to report various types of income or events to the IRS, including debt-related changes in debt context. They can release or report funds tied to accounts, but they don't inherently pay off debts. They record transactions. So clarification on that. It's not a tool to discharge debt directly. It records already discharged debt of certificates of indebtedness. Now, I don't know how true that is. I've heard some other things. I've watched some other videos in regard to funding yourself through these types of forms. I'm not really sure how it works, but I am navigating and learning. So when you file a 1099 yourself, it doesn't create a discharge. It's for reporting events like cancellations, which may trigger tax implications. Okay. So it's not just for debt relief, but there are several types. There's the 1099A, there's the 1099C, also, I do believe a B, and they all, and I don't know if I had time to look those up, but the 1099A is an acquisition or abandonment of secured property. This form is filed by lenders when they acquire an interest in property securing a debt through foreclosure or repossession, or if they believe the property was abandoned. It reports the outstanding principal debt and the fair market value of the property at the time of acquisition for abandonment. Recipients may not need to treat this as a sale for tax purposes, potentially realizing gain or loss. So there's some other stuff that goes along with this in regard to if the note was sold, like what I was talking about with Mortgage One. And when I think it was like a month or two after I signed my mortgage with them, LoanCare became the servicing entity of the loan. So I don't know if 1099A, I need to dive into that a little bit more and also learn the other side of it of what you don't do. And then going on to the 1099C, I hope Allie calls in. She's got an update that I want to share with everybody, but if she doesn't, I'll share it without her calling in. But anyway, back staying on note here. So cancellation of debt, 1099C, issued when a creditor cancels or forgives $600 or more of debt. The canceled amount is generally considered taxable income to the debtor unless exceptions apply, such as bankruptcy, insolvency. Oh, it's filed after identifiable events like settlements or write-offs, and recipients must report on their tax returns. So that's interesting. The role of a 1099A and a 1099C is as follows. These forms report that an event. Did you say something? Okay.
No, good.
Okay. That an event like discharge or abandonment has occurred. They follow decisions, not create them. Power is in the underlining event. When forms appear, internal charges happen. Focus on book movements and reconciliations. But remember, self-filing to discharge debt isn't a valid strategy and could lead to issues. Now, I don't know how much of that is true. I've heard different things. And again, I'll have to dive into that and hopefully bring some more light on that. So, what triggers are there for 1099s? Most commonly, events that prompt a 1099 is default, failure to pay. Acceleration of the note, demanding full payment early, and then there's repossession where lender takes back the collateral. The next one is foreclosure, legal process to sell property, securing debt, insurance payouts. Interesting. I probably should dive into that one. What do you think, Shane?
Dive in deep.
Yeah. Total loss on secured assets, settlements, agreed reductions, internal write-offs, lender deems debt uncollectible, determination of uncollectibility, simonious with defaulting, same as defaulting. I hate those big words, or I dislike the big words. Sale of receivables, which debt sold, the debt was sold to collectors. Okay, so I have to wonder about that because if Mortgage One took my mortgage and sold it over to LoanCare, it's very interesting. There's something, I don't know. There's got to be more to that. Now, this is just the other side of the story, not story, but the process. So something has already shifted on the books when you have a 1099 triggered. Banks must reconcile everywhere. This is where to investigate for discrepancies. Now, the scenarios, there's some scenarios here. Accelerated debt, abandoned property, borrower leaves secured assets, settlements, insurance payouts. Do you have insurance? Don't you deal with insurance payouts?
I do deal with insurance payouts. Yep,
So,
from the insurance company. They write the homeowner a check, though. I don't deal with it from a 1099 standpoint. Now, sometimes the insurance carriers want me to submit my company paperwork so that they can send me a 1099. And I know what they're trying to do there, but
what? Tell me. I want to know.
they're trying to write the payout as they're trying to write it off on their company as a
Oh,
default.
yeah. Okay, yep, that makes sense. Exactly.
But insurance, all of it has to do with bonds. And I don't know a whole lot about getting into debt in debt and all that, but it is another form of a bond that you're creating, and they can just pull it straight from your trust, your living trust. So
Yeah, and you know
yeah.
what? You mean the living trust that isn't real, that is just a conspiracy theory? Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot that goes into that. I don't know about it in detail. I don't know any of that stuff in detail. I just choose to create a positive reality with you in this experience on the radio.
I know, and but you know, just imagine if everybody learned how to navigate through the system using their legalities and how they do it, and turn it around to our advantage. We could break these systems down, couldn't we?
Well, the system's already broke down on another timeline. It's just up to us to quit participating and let it collapse. I keep telling you that. It's up
Okay,
to
all right.
us to collapse this timeline.
All right. So let me give you a scenario. So I stop participating with the bankruptcy court. I ignore every letter, everything, and just stop. What do you think is going to happen? And I say, I crash this timeline right now. Is it going to poof go away? Can you guarantee me that?
Well, I can guarantee you that I would create that experience, but if you have any doubt in your mind after you do that, if you get scared just a little bit, you're going to void it out completely.
You're absolutely right, but I have been doing some timeline crashes, and I have been including the
So
bankruptcy
you
timeline.
so you so but you and Ron Amatron talked about this. And Q talked about this with Creation Lightship, is he goes, we sit here, we created this Creation Lightship for people to use it as a template to start creating your own commands and do your own clearings. And it's up to y'all to go within and feel what it is that you need to clear and to clear it on your own, because we all have the power to clear it. However, Ron Amatron thought it was just hilarious. He says, you come in, you do a clearing one day. Everything is what you see, you experience it, everything goes well, and then y'all go right back to participating again. So you got to come back and do a clearing again, then you go back to participating again, and at some point through your journey, we will understand, I just need to quit participating.
Right. And you know, I look at the Creation Lightship as it was my training wheels. And we all know, if everybody on this planet knew how powerful we really are.
Allie's on from Ohio is on line one. You created that call-in. Wow. Look how powerful you are. Thank you,
We're rocking
Allie.
it. All right, now
Come on, Allie.
let me get through this last one here, and then we'll go get her.
Well,
Hold on.
okay.
Settle down, cowboy.
I want to talk to Allie.
Okay, real quick. When the 1099 shows up, it's reporting a charge off, a debt written off as loss. Use this to your advantage by reviewing for tax exclusions, or disputes, but always consult a tax professional. All right, let's bring Allie on.
Yay. Allie, Bo Bally.
Allie, what you got? What you got? Is she
Can
there?
you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Oh, good.
Do you have something that we?
I've been hoping for a peaceful moment.
Well, all
Yeah.
right. She's got the kids with her, so if they happen to come on, don't worry about it. But
Are
Allie.
you hiding in the closet right now?
No, I'm in the living room. They're hiding in the
Okay.
room.
All right.
All right, so Allie wants to share with everyone. You know, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about people donating on our donation button to help her out, to help her get, you know, a heater in the house, a wa hot water heater. Now we didn't get any donations, but I was able to help her. You know, we were able to get her warm with the little things that we provided. But Allie didn't just sit back and wait for something to happen. She actually did something about it, and I do believe that the donation came around, but it came in a different way, because the universe always provides. So, Allie, why don't you share what happened?
Well, those things that you helped me with weren't little things, girl.
Yeah.
They really helped me. In fact, every night I get in bed, I think about you.
There
Oh,
you go.
thank you.
because I have an electric blanket to keep me warm.
Oh, I love it.
So, anyway, yeah, my furnace went out, probably, I think it was November. And, there's lots of programs out there, but they don't let people know all the programs that are available, So, anyway, I ended up applying for some of those programs, and it's so confusing as which one is which one. And, there's so many things, but I ended up getting quite a few things all at once. And of course, I'm commanding all the time too, to improve the situation and get us a furnace. And I need a hot water heater as well. Well, finally, this regional planning commission called me and said that they want to interview me and they want me to come in and that they would provide me with a furnace and a hot water heater.
Wow.
And it what it is it's a federal program. So this isn't like local, it's not township, it's not, state or city, it's federal. And so anyway, the process took so long. I mean, it was like, you have to wait like a month to get an appointment. And but now that I'm happy to say, and maybe it's a change, in our world, is they actually want to advertise what they do on my lawn because Friday they brought me a new furnace and put it in. So I'm so happy about that. And the fact they want to advertise shows that they're not going to limit these programs anymore.
It's
You could
beautiful.
call for help a dozen places, and the people you talk to, they're in no hurry to help you, And but now things, I think, are changing. So I hope for everybody else that the things are changing.
And the
But
change
I'm going to
starts
get a
with
hot water
us,
heater
right?
on Monday. I'm going to get a hot water heater on Monday.
Right.
Wow.
That's so great. And Allie, the change starts with us, and you made it happen. And I'm so happy for you. You have no idea how heartfelt I feel that you're in a warm house now. I'm so happy.
I know, me too. It's wonderful. But I want that for everybody. I want that for everybody.
Yes. And
Right.
you created that for yourself, and that's beautiful. And that's one thing about you. When you want something done, you go after it. And we thank you so much, so very much for calling in and sharing that story with us.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you because you really helped me.
I love you, girl. Tell those kids I love them too.
Okay, love you guys. Have a
Thank
good
you.
day.
Thank you. All right,
Thank
bye-bye.
you. Okay, I want to get to the last the copy B of the 1099 documents, forms. Okay, real quick, we got 3 minutes. So you start with the copy B request. You start to challenge collectors. This is the recipient's copy for tax purposes. Strategies: position yourself for funding, send conditional acceptance first before considering a 1099. This is a formal response accepting terms under conditions, putting the collector on notice. Okay, so it's copy B, the request. If they charge off or issue a 1099, sell receivables or assign the account, demand full documentation of the audit as this triggers the reconciliation requirements. Now, filing a 1099 yourself intended to audit the collector's trail, but note this, it isn't standard. Focus on requesting info without creating events. Request full transaction history, accounting ledger, proof of assignment, chain of title for debt, deficiency calculation, remaining owed after asset sales, and documentation basis for reporting. Okay, that's copy B. All right, that's how you get started to audit your creditors. Don't go the other ways. Okay, we're not going to be able to finish everything else. And so, on that note, we're going to draw a close. We're going to close the episode here on PRQ Homesteading, with Shane and I being in love with our souls, envisioning life's vast orchard where every seed of intention blooms into eternal abundance, guided by the cosmic rhythm of the universe's heartbeat. Shane and I are signing off, sending love from our heartfelt souls to BBS and all of the listeners. May your essence entwine in the infinite dance of universal harmony until we reconvene again. Remain anchored in love, everyone. We love you so much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to say thank you, God, Source Creator, Spirit of the Universe, Creator of all things, for
And
this experience.
shout out to the Q-ster and Rob. We love you.
Thank you all.